Today, I am going to talk about getting over hurdles. And a lot of times I get inspired, which a lot of people probably do this, get inspired for messages based on life experiences. How many of you may speak here and there, and life experiences will guide you to, you know, touch somebody else's life. So we're going to start by talking about different sized hurdles. When you have a dream, a desire, a call that God has given you, sometimes it's not so easy to just do it, you know. It's not like you're here and all of a sudden you're on the other side here automatically, and that's the goal. You have to take steps, and in taking those steps, a lot of times you do face challenges and hurdles. So I'm going to talk about some experiences in my life, and it's kind of funny because I am not really athletic at all, but I do like to walk and sometimes jog. But I used to say, I will never jog, I will never run, I will never be that person. And how many of you in here are avid runners? Oh, man, okay. Like, you really, that, like, no matter what, you're going to be out there, you're going to be running. I mean, you're going to be doing a good workout. I know that some people gone today, and I know some of them are avid runners. And I'm going to tell a story about one of them in just a little bit. But like I said, I am absolutely not an avid runner, jogger, you know, or walker. I always said, I will be that person. Okay, I'll go on the treadmill and I'll walk all day long. Not a problem. But now I've gotten to the place where it's just boring to me. Just doing a treadmill totally is boring. And in this beautiful weather, this beautiful state, I like to go out and get a walk in. Well, I started last fall. I decided I'm going to up my endurance a little bit. I'm going to just try to jog. And so I started doing that. And for me, you know, I wasn't going to set this high goal because I know myself. I know my level of endurance, and you know, just saying I'm going to jog for a mile straight is just not going to happen right off the bat. But what I want to talk about is when we are walking or jogging or running. A lot of times if we decide we're running on this path, sidewalk or the road, you know, we come up upon certain things. Sometimes we come, you know, we'll come to a place where we know there's a seam. We know there is a seam in the sidewalk. Sometimes there's a crack in the sidewalk. And when we look at that, that's like, I can do anything. When we get a call from God, a lot of times we are so like excited about it, and we're so driven, and we're so full of energy that, do you see the little picture? There's my little hurdle there, or my big hurdle. A lot of times we get so excited that nothing's going to stop us, right? So when we're running along and there's a crack, and then we just go right over it, no problem. But then what happens when we're running and all of a sudden there's this rock in the road? There's just this little rock, which really, as you can see, is not very big. This is not very big. However, as a runner, as a jogger, you might see this in the road and you might go, well, I want to make sure that I don't step on it because I might twist my ankle. Or I want to make sure that I don't that I don't trip over it because, you know, that's going to mess me up and I'm going to skin my knee or something. But what happens when we start thinking about this little thing here, what happens is we have now depleted some of our energy to achieve the endurance that we have set before us. And a lot of times that's what we, you know, these little hurdles in our life, we're looking and focusing on the little thing instead of looking at the prize. And so what we are talking about today is how to get over that. The next hurdle I want to talk about is something that I've experienced firsthand. Now, in our neighborhood, we live in a neighborhood that it's more of a vacation neighborhood. And so Brent and I will go walking or jogging around the neighborhood. But there's this one place that I have, and it's kind of like the last long stretch of jogging that I do, and it's down on a sidewalk. And so one day I was jogging along, no big deal, I'm just jogging. I see something out in the distance, and I'm like, huh, I wonder if that's a rock. As I got closer, I'm like, not a rock, maybe it's a big leaf. I'm not sure. I can't. And as I get closer, I notice what it is. We have that picture? I notice it's a beautiful grasshopper. Now, Florida grasshoppers, I'd never seen a grasshopper like that before moving here. And I thought, I mean, they're just, whenever I see them, they're beautiful. But let me tell you something. I am terrified of them. Terrified. To the point that first day I'm jogging along and I literally was gripped with a little bit of fear. You know why? Because I don't like things that can first jump really high and also fly. And basically I'm like, it just talking about it kind of, you know, gives me the chills. But, and you ask my mom, you ask my husband, I freak out about bugs. So, but I'm jogging along and I see this. And so at that point I am like, oh dear Lord, oh my word, what am I going to do? So that first time I stopped to try and figure out what am I going to do. And I wound up stepping off of the sidewalk and running on the road and going around it. But what happened there? Fear set in. Fear set inside of me, and it actually crippled me a little bit. It tightened the hold on achieving the goal that I had set in front of me. And this is a huge thing for people. Huge thing. When you have something set in front of you, you have a dream, whatever it might be, whether it's to finish college or it's to have children or it's to start a business or it's to get married, whatever it is, there's something, sometimes fear grips you and it stares you in the face and it paralyzes you for a moment. And so what happens? It slows down that process of achieving that dream. This is the thing. Fear is a hurdle. It is a challenge. And it's something we have to get over in order to get to the next level of our journey. But the Word of God has scriptures on fear all over the place. Joshua 1:9, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. We're going to read a few scriptures here in just a bit. Joshua 1:9 says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We have to keep that in mind. When we keep that in mind, it's going to enable us to go further. Now, I am someone who, years and years ago, I dealt with fear. I dealt with things it was really weird. It was like the fear of the unknown that, you know, what if this happens or what if that happens? And there was a time in my life where that fear literally did paralyze me. Now, I've never dealt with anxiety issues, but there were just some instances that I was gripped and paralyzed with fear. And what had to happen was I had to start speaking scriptures into my life. I had to look at what the Word of God says, and I had to pray. And I had to ask God to help me here. I've been reading a devotional by Joyce Meyer called The Confident Woman. And I would highly suggest that for any of you ladies in here. And it really has inspired me. And I went through it and I was, you know, I knew that there were some things that I wanted to share out of that today. And if I could, I mean, I'd be like just reading the whole book to you guys because it's great. But one of her chapters says, "Do it afraid." She says, "We should strive to do everything with the spirit of faith. Faith is the confidence in God and a belief that his promises are true. When a person begins to walk in faith, Satan immediately tries to hinder him or her through many things, including fear. Now, faith will cause a person to go forward, to try new things, and to be aggressive. You know, most of us know the scripture verse. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Amen? Joyce goes on to say, "To do it afraid means to feel the fear, but you do what you believe you should do anyway." Amen? So when you see that hurdle in your path, that thing that even the enemy is staring you in your face, when you see that grasshopper in your path, you already know he's there. You already know that hurdle, that challenge is going to be there. The grasshopper was there the first day, It was probably there the day before. It was there the next day and the next day and the next day. I know when it's going to be there. I know it's going to be there. So what do I have to do? I have to plan my movement ahead of time. So if you know that it's there, you already know what your strategy is going to be. We've got to figure that out. And one last thing about fear. When we have the fear of God, that's a good fear. So we have to fear God and fear Him with reverence. Amen? So let's move on and talk about hurdles, challenges that may not be physical, but they are still there. So let's talk about seasons. Now, we all have seasons. We go through seasons in our life. There's a picture of trees. If you can see it, you've got your winter scene, and you've got your spring, you've got your summer, you've got your fall. Beautiful pictures. We all have seasons. Now, let's go back to talking about running and jogging. Now, avid runners, they don't care about the seasons change. They're out there. I mean, if they're training for the Boston Marathon, nothing's going to stop them, right? I mean, I don't know if there's anybody here who understands that, can hook up with that. The story I want to tell, there's a couple a family that comes to the church. They usually sit right here where Janet and her son are sitting. They usually sit there. They're in the third row, Paul and Allison Dowdy. And he's bald. She's got dark, blondish, curly hair. And he is an avid runner. I want to say he has at least trained for the Boston Marathon. I don't remember if they said he'd actually ran it. But Allison was telling us a story the other day. We were with them, and we were talking about running, and she said, you know, in the winter, and I know we're in Florida, so it doesn't get below freezing here, but there are some mornings in the winter that are pretty chilly. And she said that one day she had gotten up to take her daughter to school, and Paul was out running, and they saw him coming towards them in the distance. And they looked and were like, there's something shiny on his head. And they were like, they couldn't figure out what it was. They didn't think it was sweat. And they, as he got closer, they discovered it was frost. And then she even said, I think I even saw an icicle growing down from his eyebrow. And I was like, really? It gets that cold here? But an avid runner is going to just overlook that and just keep on going. There are seasons. I mean, we have, you know, New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, we set New Year's resolutions, right? What's the most common resolution that we set? Diet, lose weight, exercise. But what we also experience in the winter a lot of times, maybe not here, but a lot of people experience, it's cold outside. You set this goal and, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to go work out. And then it's too cold to go out, right? And so they start sitting inside the house. They don't want to get out. And so they start becoming, some people really deal with depression during these times. You know, they've just come off of Christmas and everything was so fun and great. And it's just like, you're kind of getting a slump, you know? And so they just sit, oh, you know what? It's too cold and I'm too tired to cook. So what do? Well, you create another hurdle. That's a pizza box for those of you who can't see it. And so what happens? Well, the goal to lose weight is kind of staring me in the face. That's not going to happen, right? You got this. So people, you know, deal with those kinds of hurdles. So we have to overlook that. But seasons are seasons. They're just that. Listen, you got to have a winter in order to have a spring, right? Got to have a spring in order to have a summer. But seasons are that. There's a beginning of a season. There's an end of a season. I was reading on Facebook the other day, a family member of ours that lives in Colorado, and he posted, this was just like 2 days ago, and he posted on Facebook that it was a beautiful day in Colorado, but then the weather forecast said, expecting 1 to 3 inches of snow on Mother's Day. I was like, that stinks. I mean, we're closer to summer than we are to winter right now. And, but you know, some seasons are longer than others. We have to remember not to get too discouraged in those long seasons. When we talk about seasons, as a mother, and, you know, those of you in here who have children, you know, children go through stages, right? And sometimes they are so overwhelming, and sometimes they're wonderful. You know, when I think back about when Preston was born, I remember, and my husband will tell you, I was always so worried that he was going to get hurt. And I was so protective, overprotective of him. And I remember he'd start crawling. And at the time, we lived in a two-story house in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I remember, you know, we had stairs to the upstairs. And he would crawl over to the stairs and try to crawl up the stairs. And my heart would be dropping like, what if he gets halfway up and then he falls backward and he falls and hits his head? You know, going through that. And then all of a sudden, he kind of navigated that and he was fine. And what happened within me was, okay, I've mastered this stage. I can handle it. I got this. The next day you wake up, bam, another stage. He's changed. So now he's learning to walk, right? So we go through that like, oh, okay, so I can handle that, but now I got to get adjusted to the walking. And you go through stages. Children go through stages in order to grow up. Adults go through stages or seasons of life in order to grow up. See, now we have Peyton, and we're dealing with the potty training stage. Anybody remember that? Not with yourself, but with your own children. The potty training stage, it's a lot of fun. I went out and bought him an Elmo potty last night. He thought it was just a toy. And he's kind of too big for it. So he poured water in it. I was like, no, that's not how it works. So, you know, stages, it's a part of life. So we have to remember that. There's a lot of times when we're in those seasons that we feel uncomfortable, that we start a new season of life after we've mastered the other one, and we feel like we feel so uncomfortable. What do we have to do when we enter a new season, when we hit that other, hit a hurdle in a new season? We have to figure out how to adjust. How do we adjust somehow in this new season? What do we need to do? When I talked about, you know, the grasshopper, and I had to maneuver my way around him, but each day I figured out a better way to do it. And we have to adjust ourselves for getting through that in order to get to the goal. So let's see what the Word of God has to say. We're going to get some scripture in here. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to James 1. Verse 2 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, may your requests be made known to God." And most of us are going to know Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." When I'm out there jogging and I'm getting to that last stretch, I have on my workout playlist, I've got the song "Nothing is Impossible." And I'm like, yes, I can do this. I can do this. "I can do all things who strengthens me through him who strengthens me." 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting the whole of your care unto him." 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. We talked about Jesus and what he did for us. And dying on the cross, I mean, my word, that is the ultimate sacrifice right there. When we are dealing with challenges and hurdles in our life, we need to remember what he did, that challenge that he faced. Because you know what? He could have just said to God, "You know what? I'm not feeling it. I don't think I'm going to do this." I mean, because at that point, he was human. And he could have just been like, "Yeah, find someone else." But thank God he did it. When we're out running, jogging, working out, we are sweat, right? When Jesus was in the garden and he was praying, and he could have said no, he knew he was supposed to go on and die on the cross. But what was he sweating? He wasn't sweating what we sweat. He was sweating blood. The Bible says he sweat blood. That's the big difference between you and I. When we bleed, it's usually because we've cut ourselves. When he bled, he was just sweating. So let's go to the next step. How do we get closer to our goal? How do we get over those hurdles? Well, we need to be prepared. We have to have preparation in our life. God will use everything in our lives to train us if we are willing to be trained. It is so sad to say that there's so many people who have amazing, great callings on their life, but they are just too impatient to go through the preparation that's necessary to equip them for that job. An avid runner that has made a decision, I'm going to run the Boston Marathon. Do you think that they just get up one morning and go, let's sign up, I'll be there in a minute, and run the Boston Marathon? No. When they decide that they want to run, they have to train themselves. When I decided, and I'm going to just tell my little story about my jogging. Like I had said, I'm not an avid runner, jogger, or anything. But for me, what I have done, and I haven't done it in a while, but it was a big deal for me. I went to Oral Roberts University, graduated from there in 2012. And in order to graduate, I mean, first of all, you have to take physical education classes every semester. And you have to pass what's called the field test. Now, when I actually had gone to ORU in the 90s and stopped and then went back. That's a whole other story. we're not going to talk about that today. When I went in the 90s, though, it was a three-mile field test. And when I graduated, it was 2 miles, thank God. But you did have the choice to walk or run. And so I did choose to walk because I knew that I would pass. I had a better chance of passing. But the standard of a passing grade, you had to walk pretty fast. So in order to get it done, you really, I couldn't just get up that day and just do it and pass it. I had to train to do it. So now, when I started jogging in our neighborhood, I started this last fall. I didn't just get up and say, I just want to jog. I walked a quarter mile, and then I jogged a tenth of a mile. And then I would walk another quarter mile, and then I would jog maybe 0.20 of a mile. And I would just keep doing that. And at one point, and again, this is probably not that big of a deal to a lot of people, but at one point, I did get myself to jog a straight, I think, mile 0.10, which is a huge deal to me. Huge. And I couldn't have just done that just right off the bat. So you have to prepare. In the Bible, the book of Esther talks about Esther and going before the king and asking him to let her people go. That sounds like Moses, but let them go free. And what we sometimes fail to realize is she had to prepare for this moment for 12 months. She was physically beautiful. So her going before the king, I mean, he'd see a beautiful woman. But if she just went up there and just said, hey, I'd like for you to let my people like be free. This wicked Haman is taking them and being terrible to them. Then she wouldn't get it. And he wouldn't respect that. He'd be like, yeah, kind of get out of my chambers. But she went through 12 months of preparing herself on the inside. She went through a purifying process. So when she stood before the king, he was able to grant her her request, and she was able to save her people from that evil Haman. So I want to say, if you're feeling unqualified for something and you believe God's calling you to do something, don't let it stop you. Prepare yourself, get in training, and realize that that goal is attainable. Preparation builds confidence. It's the knowing that not only you've done everything you can to be ready for the challenge, to face that challenge right in the face, but you won't be in fear. You'll overcome that challenge. You'll overcome that hurdle. You got to learn from your mistakes. A lot of people say that. A lot of times we're going to make a mistake. We are going to come upon that grasshopper and you know, it's going to throw us off. But learn from it. Take the scriptures that I have brought to you. Go to the Word of God. Let the Lord speak to you and help you to get past that hurdle. Because you can go ahead and get that. You know, at some point, you're going to wind up being in this place where God is going to have you prepared. God is going to be dealing with your heart. and you are going to be, you're going to be able to look at a hurdle like this. I can't jump over that, but you're going to be able to jump over something like this. Go right ahead, Mikey. Let's see. Woo! Huh? You can take it away now. Thank you. To be honest with you, I really wanted to find like a do not enter sign over here in on this property and use that, but I wasn't able to do that. But in closing, I do want to share a story that when we like I said, when we apply the Word of God to our life to help us get achieve our goals, achieve our dreams, God's going to help us there. A lot of you have heard Brent's and my story about our quest to have children. But for those of you who haven't, many years ago, we tried to have kids for probably, I don't know, was it 6 years, 7 years? And it was not succeeding. And so we decided to go to a fertility specialist and go through in vitro fertilization. So we did that, went through the process, and I will tell you that year of our life, it was very faith building for me. I spent a lot of time in the Word. I actually tell people I felt great during that year. But what I didn't get was my dream. And the first round of in vitro that we went through, they called and they said, now, it's positive, but it's a low positive, so you're probably going to lose it. And this, so they're like, just come back in a week and take a test. And went back in a week, and it's still positive, but it's getting even lower. So then the next week, it's not positive anymore. You lost it. So that's pretty devastating at that point. So I got more in the Word and spent more time with God. And I was feeling good. We were able to try it again. And we tried it again, and doctor calls us up and says, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. I don't know what the problem is, but you're not pregnant. So that's very devastating. At that point, we had to figure out, what do we want to do now? We want children. This isn't fair. We want children. So we started looking into adoption. So fast forward several months, we found somebody we knew kind of led us in the right direction to adopt, and we were approved. And a few months later, we get the call. She's in labor. So we drive to where she's at the hospital, and we're excited. We're like, yes, Preston's born, and they had him right to us. And we are holding this newborn baby. And I'm telling you, I don't care if I didn't have him. It felt like he was mine, and he is mine. And if you see him, you know he looks just like me. That's how God works. So, but this is what happened. In the same day that I became a mom, we had a challenge in our face that could possibly not make me a mom. Within 24 hours, we have our attorney calling us saying, this is probably not going to happen. We're holding this little child. He's in our arms. He has become part of us. And again, any of you who are moms or dads, you know that feeling that the moment your child is born, that there's no question there. So what we began to do was what we knew to do, and that was to pray. And while Brent wandered and paced back and forth praying and then getting to the point where he didn't know what else to pray, so he prayed in the Spirit, I sat in that hospital room, in that bed, and I held my baby. And I'd get up and I'd walk holding him. I would stand and I would look out the window holding him. And I started singing to him because that's what I knew. And I started singing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. I sang that. I sang Jesus Loves Me. I sang Jesus Loves the Little Children. And then I sang a song that I wrote for him called Precious Preston. And I did that, and I did that for months. I mean, I probably did it for as long as I've been able to hold him in my arms. I'd rock him to sleep at home. And that child, obviously, is ours. But when we were faced with that challenge, what did I know to do? Well, I was raised, I've got a great heritage of a praying mom, a praying grandma, a praying great-grandma, that's what they do. That's what they did through anything. They prayed. They believed. So what it was instilled within me was to pray and to believe and to stand on the word and just to rest in God. So when we are faced with those challenges, those hurdles, and Mom, you can go ahead and come up. What do we have to do? Well, we go back to even that little rock here. What did we do to get around the rock? We go back to the grasshopper. What did we do to get around the grasshopper? And when we're faced with that big hurdle, we can apply those principles, apply those practices to getting over that hurdle. But more importantly is that we establish a walk and a relationship with our God. So that when we are faced in the face and it's, you know, there's somebody, there's something, there's the enemy saying, it's not going to happen for you. You're not going to get it. It's going to be too hard. And we're tempted to quit. We can just stare it right down and just go forward. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
You know what, Jody,
Amen.
You and I were talking last night, and you know what? We realized there's probably never a time that a group of people get together. There aren't people that are facing true challenges.
Right.
And I think that verse says, being confident of this very thing,
yes,
that he that has begun a good work in you,
yes,
he's going to perform it. You've got to grab a hold of that today, whatever you're facing this week. And I was with Jody and Brent every bit of the way,
yeah,
when it came to Preston's birth. As we drove up there, and we were so excited to get up there, and we were sitting out in the hallway, and the young girl was determined not to have the baby until the doctor came. We got there about 1, and I don't think he got there till about 2, 2:30, or something like that. But the minute that baby was birthed, the nurse came out of the room, and Jody and Brent were sitting in the hallway, and I was standing there along with them. And knowing Brent just gets up and follows that nurse, and we go into that room, and she begins scrubbing that baby down. And yeah, she handed it right over to you. Mm-hmm. And then Brent held him, and I was blessed to be the third.
Yeah.
But when that word came, that it looked like we weren't going to be able to keep this baby, I was out calling all the family members to pray. I was bawling, like, I couldn't stop crying because I just couldn't believe what we were facing. And then I remember saying to Jody, if we don't get to keep him, we are going to give this baby the best 3 days of his life.
Yeah.
Because I start to think, too, it looked like the grandmother was going to get him. And I start to think, I'm a grandmother. I would be devastated. I'd be pressing to get him. But then when we uncovered all the difficulties within that family, how she had to give up her own son when he was only like 7, 8 years old, and all the different complications that were there. Yes, you are going to start saying, will that woman please carry Kleenexes with her? But here's the thing. That was a big hurdle to get over. But because we kept our confidence, and when I caught myself crying and thinking, I had been praying along with Jody all those months, the development of that baby, I start to think, you know what? I'm not acting in faith here.
Right.
I need to start acting like this thing is going to turn around. And praise God, it did turn around. I was coming home from this year's Hawaii trip. Mm-hmm. And I just start to thinking about Preston and Peyton. And honestly, I have 19 grandchildren. Mm-hmm. But these babies couldn't be closer to my heart than if I had birthed them myself. I feel so close to them. But I start to think about Peyton and Preston, do you realize that when they were being formed in their mother's stomach, that God knew them by name?
Yes.
But God also had a plan for them, and it was to give them a hope and to give them a future when He placed them as parents were able to have him. My Brent and Jody were being blessed with these two little guys. That God always knew that, because He knew even more about you being parents. He has a calling upon these little boys.
Yeah.
And that He placed these little boys in their life, but He also placed them in this community of you people to love and to nourish them and to be there for them. And that's what we've got to do for one another.
Yes.
And today, as you sit here, you may be facing some true hurdles, some immediate hurdles. And that's what Jody and I were talking about last night. We're all going to have some of them down the road, but some of you may be facing them maybe tomorrow. It may be physical. It may be mental. It may be financial. It may be spiritual. But whatever it is, we want to agree with you this morning that you are going to get over this hurdle.
Yes.
And that God is going to take and use this situation. See, He never brings anything into our life that He can't turn around and make good. And we must learn to press toward the prize of the call of God upon each and every one of our lives.
Yes. Amen.
And the first place is where you give your heart and your soul, your mind, your body to God. In what we call salvation, recognizing that He died for you, but He also rose again to give each and every one of us life. So we want to pray for any of you who may need that acceptance into your life. And then we want to agree for any of you as you bow your heads now and the worship team comes forward. We want to agree right now for you. And perhaps we want them to raise their hand or come forward, however you would like to do this, Jody. But there are more than two or three here that can agree that whatever this group is facing, we're going to be more than conquerors.
Amen.
We're going to press
Amen.
Forward during this week, and we're going to see the hand of God take and turn things around for you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and just bow your heads. Just spend some time with the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.